These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Welcome back. This is Flagrant Howls, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast. And we have some sad news. I think our co-host, our friend Phil Mackey, has been kidnapped by Kirk Crusaders and is currently being held at an undisclosed Kohl's location because he's not here today. Ross,
it will only
you are
take,
the new Phil.
It will only take $100 million in guaranteed cash to get Phil back. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing well. This is Flagrant Howls. It's our Thursday edition. We usually have, obviously, the man himself, Phil Mackey, hosting with you and I sprinkling in our thoughts. And then the man, the myth, the legend, Jim Peterson on to just tell us stories, talk about the games and all that stuff. Everyone in my phone, Ross, is MIA today. Phil is in Chicago, again, probably just on day three of his victory lap with the Vikings setting on a new chapter of quarterback. Jim Pete just sent me a photo. He's somewhere in Zion National Park. Alan Horton is somewhere in L.A. The Wolves, again, are off. I think they're leaving for Utah tomorrow. So then they'll have two games this weekend against the Jazz before returning home for the most ugly second night of a back-to-back against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. So if you've ever wanted, all six of you, if you've ever wanted to hear more from Kyle and Ross, this is your podcast because we have some fun things to talk about.
Well, and, you know, we'll be honest, if you want to flip away, you know, please do. But we would really like you to stay, even if it's just to leave a hate comment below in YouTube. How deep into the phone, or as they used to say in the 80s and 90s in the Rolodex, how deep did you go to try and find a guest for us today? Because I've been very preoccupied with other things. I feel bad that I couldn't help you. Other than I did tell you, Kyle, we'll survive. It's just a podcast. We'll make it.
So spoiler alert, I'll just say it now because it's been a stressful week. I bought a house.
Hey, congrats.
This week.
Congrats.
So I am a first-time home buyer. So that's kind of stressed me out as well. But I got so deep into the phone that I have a couple former NBA players that I think would provide good perspective. A couple of them from the Minnesota area, played in the league, played overseas, had a nice March Madness run. So I did secure some guests moving forward. So this podcast, this will probably be the low point of its career. But moving forward, there will be some fun guests. But it's tough to give anyone a 20-minute notice and be like, hey, can you hop on StreamYard? So it got pretty deep.
We also thought about kicking the tires on Mr. Shane Heel again, but it's very early in the morning in Australia, so that probably wasn't going to happen. The Timberwolves kicked the tires on a nice win over the Clippers, Kyle.
Let's just get right into it because that was what I was going to kind of centralize the talk with Jim today, because I think when ESPN games, when the Wolves are on national TV for ESPN or NBA TV, Bally still has the broadcast crew. So Grady and Jim will call those games. But I just learned this because after that Clippers win, I had had a beverage or three or four, and I just
good
texted Jim, and I was just like, that game was awesome. And Jim's like, I wish I could have called it. So I didn't know because, again, it's blackout rules and stuff. I didn't even know that Jim and Grady weren't doing any sort of, you know, broadcast for the Tuesday game. But back to that Tuesday game, that Clippers game, I said in the moment, Ross, that was the best win of the season. And I know I can be hyperbolic, but when you factor in just kind of everything, you know, this first week without Carl, they're getting, I mean, the Wolves, even when they lose, don't really lose bad. They don't really get stomped. And they were getting grade A stomped in that first quarter. But just to not only show heart, not only to come back, not only to kind of bully the Clippers in the second half, but everything that it meant to the standings too. Maybe it wasn't the most impressive win, but it was hands down the most important win of the season.
Well, and you said it. I mean, you basically took the point right out of my mouth. When you think about all that they're up against, Rudy injured, Kat out for quite some time. We mentioned all the other nagging injuries that some guys are dealing with, sometimes not playing, sometimes playing through them just to be out there too. At this point, Kyle, it's actually, if they were to lose another player, I mean, it's already a bad situation. Imagine if somebody else was to go down for a long period of time. I mean, they're already short in the rotation and bodies. So to be able to overcome that and do, not to centralize this to all Minnesota teams, but I saw a lot of people talk about this. I know you saw it too, because we follow a lot of people. A very un-Minnesota sports-like win. You know, when you're following following the ESPN tracker of your percent chance to win the game, and that one completely flipped, and it's been against a team, or it was against a team, there's a good chance you'll see him again in the playoffs, especially if the Timberwolves do what we all hope they do and at least get out of the first round of the playoffs. So I think that's big for confidence building. And Kyle, I don't want to get too greedy, and I don't want to get past the Clippers game yet. But you kind of feel like you'd love to see them go win both games against Utah. I mean, it kind of feels like, one, they probably should, but even with where they're at, wouldn't you be a little bit disappointed? I mean, you'd be really disappointed if they didn't at least win one. But if they were to get both of them, I think you'd be ecstatic about that. And hopefully this game against the Clippers and the comeback allows them to do that and carry the momentum forward.
No, that's a great point. So Carl goes down a week ago today, right? Or that's when we get the announcement last Thursday that he's out. And then they're on this 6-game road trip. And I don't know if we said it on the pod or if we just kind of texted about it. It was, okay, just try to go 3-3, right? Like, just try to survive
the trip.
This trip, it's a long trip. There are some days built in, but, you know, some nasty back-and-back and stuff. So to win that Clippers game, back to your point, it did kind of relieve some pressure because now you're not staring down the barrel of, like, we're 1-3 on this road trip. We've dropped some winnable games, and now we have to sweep the Jazz. They should still sweep the Jazz. The Jazz are, again, kind of graduated to that part of the season where they're way more focused on development, maybe tanking. They're not a very good team, but they both are in Utah, and I've always said it's pretty hard, and the numbers back this up, Ross, to win both those games. A lot of times in the league, it just kind of is like a 1-1, you know, swap type of thing. So they're 2-2 on this road trip. They've had a couple days off. They get to get rested. We don't know at the time of this recording on Thursday afternoon what happened to Rudy Gobert. Kind of, you know, jumped up, fell on Zubac, was holding like what looked like a rib. After the game, Chris Hine from the Star Tribune, who is traveling or following the team this week, Rudy said he'll be okay, but he also doesn't know if what happened, or he felt like something was displaced. So to me, those are two different things, right? If I was like, hey, I'm feeling good, Ross, but I also, my heart isn't pumping. Those are two different medical diagnoses.
Can you feel good if your heart's not pumping?
Some days, but so his status, you know, the Jazz aren't that good, but they do have size. I mean, obviously they have Walker Kessler from the famous Rudy Gobert trade, but John Collins, Markkanen, a couple other guys. So they would love to have that veteran stability in Rudy for this weekend. I'm sure Rudy will tough it out because he loves playing against the Jazz, but that's like the biggest question mark from that game. But just going back to the actual game itself, I know you might have missed like the fourth quarter. That was just a practice session for the bench mob. Like Deshaun Nix was throwing backboard alley-oops to Josh Minot, and I was just having a seizure how much fun I was having. But it was cool to see them not only have that non-Minnesota win that you mentioned, but to do it in a game that was important for the standings, but also to do it, and with no disrespect to Jim and Grady, who we love, to do it on national TV. Because after that first quarter, the narrative, you know, all throughout TNT and online, because it's like the premier game of the night, was, yeah, you can't trust this team. Minnesota Timberwolves, we've seen this before. Don't worry about them. And not only did they come back and win, they kind of flipped the script on the Clippers of like, yeah, that Clippers team, no heart. Bunch of guys that have never done it in the playoffs outside of Kawhi. We're not worried about them. So that was like one of the coolest things for me.
Did you happen to see it? I'm sure you did. I saw it on the Twitter, formerly Twitter, now X machine. The Shaquille O'Neal comments on Rudy Gobert and defense, where he didn't speak super highly of Rudy Gobert. Did you happen to see that? And what do you make of that? Is that true criticism, fair criticism, or is that just a retired player doing the back in my day type of thing? You know, what is your thought on that? Because I just kind of read it and said, you know, whatever. I mean, to a degree, you know, music's subjective, right? I like alt rock. I don't know what you like, but you might like something different. To a degree, you can critique players and say that it's subjective. You know, somebody wants a player like this. Somebody else wants a player like this. I never quite know what to make of that, but I also didn't think that Shaq comparing a center in 2004 doesn't seem like a fair comparison to maybe one playing the game in 2024.
So his direct quotes, just so we don't get these wrong, was his comments on Rudy Gobert being an overrated defender. Quote, I never thought he was a great defensive player. See what it is, there's not a lot of centers that are making him play defense. Like, he's not doing that bleep against Joker. He's 7'6", of course. If you lay it up, he's going to block it. But defense to me is guard that guy and shut him down. You want to impress me? Hold Joker under 15 points. All that weak side shot blocking, that's cool, but it's not going to work against guys like me and Joker. End quote. Probably one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Right? Like, he has this old, so to your point, I think it's the old school, like, you know, one-on-one, lock him down. I mean, that's not what defense is. Also, if you're only going to be classified as a good defender because you can stop Nikola Jokic, then there are no good defenders in the league.
But yeah, that was kind of my point. Well, then nobody's a good defender because he's one of the best players, I don't know if we can say in the history of basketball at this point, but he's trending that way. I mean, it just seemed kind of idiotic.
And, you know, Shaquille O'Neal was one of my favorite players growing up and one of the more dominant. I mean, you don't really see a back-to-the-basket type player like Shaq anymore, but I also, all of my fond memories of Shaq in Orlando and with the Lakers or when he teamed up with D-Wade and the Heat, none of those memories, Ross, are defensive-oriented. They are a lot of offensive production and, you know, being a dominant force on that end. So that's just kind of Shaq's MO, I think, is just he is hypercritical of big guys. I mean, Rudy Gobert has a pretty impressive resume. He's going to be now a four-time Defensive Player of the Year, and he will make the Hall of Fame, whether people agree or not. I mean, the Hall of Fame is all basketball-encompassing, and he will make it eventually once he retires. But, you know, Shaq talks about this about Anthony Davis still, and Anthony Davis has, like, won a title. So it's not even like, well, if Rudy could win a title, I just think Shaq holds big guys to some standard that unless you play like him, which few do anyway in 2024, you're just never going to really have his respect. And it ties into a whole larger thing about like previous generations and how they talk about the game now. It kind of comes off as petty and jealous and all that stuff. I wish they would be more like, I like how D-Wade kind of talks about the league and just kind of uplifting the next generation of guys. But I mean, spoiler alert, I didn't think what Shaq said was smart.
Well, and at least Shaq, I'll give him credit, he waited, what, 10 to 15 years to talk about how different the league is now these days. It took Tom Brady like 10 to 15 minutes to start throwing present quarterbacks under the bus. Remember that fiasco this last offseason? You brought up the standings, Kyle, and I want to go back to this and maybe leave the Timberwolves-Clippers discussion right there at the standings. Timberwolves now three games up on the Clippers. Does that win against the Clippers? I really don't like saying this as a Minnesota sports fan, but does that win against the Clippers almost feel like if the Wolves can at least hold serve against Utah and win at least one, or again, better yet, if they win both, does that not feel like the Wolves, for maybe all intents and purposes, wrapped up a top three seed in the West? I mean, that's going to be tough for the Clippers to overcome.
Now I'm knocking on the bookcase. I know. Look what you did.
I know.
Look what
you
did.
And they're all going to come after me. And you know what? I don't believe in superstitions, Kyle, because they're bad luck.
Well, I'm semi-stitious. And no, it was a big win because of the Wolves-Clippers situation. So to your point, yes, that's 100%. I still think the highest you can finish, the better. I'm sure that's not breaking news to anyone. But I also think more granularly, like, top four seed is the most important because you have a 23-8 record at home. Target Center has become, you know, an insane place for opponents to have to try to play. The fans are crazy loud and crazy into it. So it's big on that. You're right. They own the tiebreakers now. That three games is kind of more like four when you factor everything in. But the team that I keep watching and the thing that's most important to me about that win is you want to finish top four. You want to have that extra game at home in round one because maybe your perspective or your goals are a little different than like the Nuggets. I know this is all about trying to win a championship and the West is pretty wide open, but the Wolves haven't done, you know, advanced in 20 years. So having a home court, so avoiding that Pelicans thing, right? Like the Pelicans had a weird loss last night, like 20 to the Cavs. But yes, they're three games up on the Clippers, Ross, but they're 5.5 up on the Pelicans for that fifth seed. And to me, that was equally as important, even though it was Wolves Clippers on Tuesday, because I didn't really realize this till this morning. There's only 16 games left.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there all of a sudden. Like 20 games seemed like, oh boy, like a quarter of the season. 16 games kind of seems like a sprint now. So for them to get to 45-21, distance themselves from the Clippers. But also, if you're an optimist or you're like, no, there's no reason the Wolves can't still close this thing out and finish first in the West. They're only a game back of the Nuggets. They do play Denver three more times over these next 16 games. some of them are some tough scheduling things, but it's wide open, man. I mean, I really do think, and, you know, Jaden again, who I've been pretty boisterous about, I thought defensively was good against the Clippers, was offensively horrendous, 0 for 4 from 3, 0 for 8 from the field. But to kind of spin, and maybe we can get into this in between some ad reads, but the best player, Anthony Edwards looked awesome, 37 points. You missed the fourth quarter, so you probably missed the post-game interview. But the highlight, Ross, of that night was post-game on TNT when the interviewer asked Ant, 37 points, you guys had a crazy second-half comeback. What did you see out there? And he just smiled the way Ant smiles and said, a whole bunch of mismatches. You don't really hear that in the league anymore. You don't really hear that type of transparency.
I did actually see that. Somebody did post it.
So
it
good.
It showed up in one of my X feeds. And very quickly, to wrap up the standings, to your point on New Orleans. New Orleans, now maybe it'll change in the playoffs, and you hope that the Wolves are a lot healthier, although they were healthy when they've played the Pelicans previously. But the Pelicans have given the Wolves an awful lot of problems.
Yeah.
So if the Wolves are going to fall to the 4 seed, it could be incredibly beneficial. Let's say that series goes 7. You'd obviously rather have it at Target Center than, what do we call it, New Orleans? Smoothie King Center, what do they call it there? Yeah, with good, your boy King Cake Baby.
The single worst mascot in all of sports.
Terrifying.
We will rate those later in the offseason, but that big fake-looking baby that just shows up everywhere with a wry smile, he's the worst.
Terrifying, but not terrifying, our friends at First Equity Mortgage, Kyle.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Today's Flagrant Howls, brought to you by our friends at First Equity Mortgage. Did you know, not only did they help out our very own the man we miss, Phil Mackey, and give him a wonderful experience, they've also helped out over 20 of our coworkers and his friends with a refinance or a new home purchase. Our guy David, 20-year, Kyle, 20-year, two decades long, Timberwolves and Lynx season ticket holder. So not only is he a fan of Score North, he's a fan of our Timberwolves. He's been recognized now for 15 years in a row as a top 1% loan originator, not in Minnesota, in the country. Get that same great experience Phil and so many others have had by visiting femort.com. That is femort.com. You can also go to scorenorth.com and use the keyword David. Kyle, one thing you don't know about me, and this is true, I think this will explain a lot about me to a lot of people. I'm a firm believer in the deep clean. I deep clean my place literally once a week. That includes Clorox, scrubbing the floors, vacuuming, dusting, everything. One great way to deep clean, our friends at Zero Res. They, of course, a sponsor of Flagrant Howls as well. Now is the time with the colder weather moving out, the warm weather here. Get those floors, get that carpet clean, get all that grime out of your place. Zero Res is 4.9 out of 5-star rating. They have a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Google with over 17,000 reviews. So you know they're doing something right. The number to call is 952-0-RES. That's 952-0-RES. Mention Score North. They're going to hook you up. They're going to take care of you. You can also visit ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's ZeroResMinnesota.com. Spell it forwards or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res. Do you know who spells, or do you know how to spell winner?
N-A-W?
Yes, you knew where I was going.
I knew.
N-A-W. Let's let Kyle cook. What do you got on our guy,
well,
Noah?
Coming back, look at, by the way, just that round of applause for you and I. Very little prep goes into this. You and I have prepped our asses off today for that. So, no, one last thing on that Clippers game. I said Jaden was bad. Ant was really good. Mike Conley has kind of regained his steam, but...
Man, is that helpful, too. That is so helpful.
So helpful. But there was one player that really stood out in that game and is just starting to stand out every game and is probably one of the best deals in terms of contracts in the league. Nickeil Alexander-Walker. He was phenomenal against the Clippers. Second half, it seems like there was another weird thing, by the way, where Ant like missed the start of the second half. We should probably clean that up because it's kind of weird. Might be bathroom related. I don't really know, but he just like wasn't there again. So in his place started Nickeil Alexander-Walker in the second half. you know, the best basketball kind of analysis from that game was is when Ant finally does come back in the second half, he replaces Kyle. So Finch basically started the second half, Mike Conley, Nikhil, Ant, Jaden, and Rudy. And that's something to put a pin in moving forward, because there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Kyle Anderson replacing Carl in the starting lineup. How does that work? It makes it really kind of janky from a spreading the floor situation, because now you have two non-shooters in Kyle and Rudy, but also you have Jaden, who is right now a non-shooter because he doesn't really make anything. So inserting Nikhil, so yeah, he drops 28 points, 5 or 6 from 3, 9 from 10 from the field. And it just kind of made me think, I don't know if you were part of this last summer, but last summer we went deep and we said the Wolves have had like 280 players in the history of the team, and we tried to rank them all. But the most important thing was we did our official top 100 Minnesota Timberwolves of all time. If you're on YouTube right now, you know, subscribe. Thanks for following along on there. But visually, you can see our list from last summer had Kevin Garnett number one, had Jimmy Butler number two, Kevin Love three, Karl Anthony Towns four, and Ant five. We need to make some updates to this. And the biggest update that stood out to me when I was looking at this morning, 82nd best player in Timberwolves history, we had as Nikhil Alexander Walker. That is one spot ahead of Jalen Noel and five or six spots behind Wayne Ellington. So I, kind of putting you on the spot here, and for the listeners at home, look at the list if you're on YouTube. Think about the list. I'll retweet it out on Twitter. I think Nikhil Alexander Walker has already become a top 40 Timberwolves player of all time.
Well, can I just scan the list and just, like, you can start slotting him up by me telling you who I think he's better than or more impactful.
So, the list as of last summer had Naz Reid at 40, Pat Bev at 39, Jeff Teague at 38, Derrick Rose at 37, Tyus Jones at 36, Malik Beasley at 35,
Zach LaVine,
34, Andre Kirilenko, 33, Thaddeus Young, 32, and Michael Beasley at 31. So to me, just looking at that list and being one of the many historians that listen to this pod or also just try to think back as far as they can, like looking at that list, Nikhil Alexander Walker has done more for this team and this franchise in his, I guess, 13 months of being here, in my opinion, than like Jeff Teague.
Well, let me correct myself very quickly before I get shredded in the YouTube comments. Michael Beasley loved his Skittles, not yes. Malik Beasley. Were you working with the Wolves at the time when he was there just crushing Skittles left and right?
No.
Did your time frames overlap?
I was not, but I was one of the... I mean, no one really believed in him more than I did. I just was like, wow, that's cool. Second, you know, he, as we approach, by the way, a week from now, March Madness, like just he was such a dog at Kansas State and kind of coming up and watching him play in March. I was like, he is going to be awesome. So when the Wolves got to kick the tires on him, I was really excited. But yeah, he is far more known in Timberwolves circles for his love for candy and other guys' thighs. If you remember the Anthony Tolliver situation when he's kind of rubbing his thigh, like, oh, that's not my leg, than he was producing. But he's another one. I think Nikhil has done more in 13 months than Michael Beasley has, right?
Well, scanning this list, Kyle, and you're right, I was not a part of the show when you guys did this. There's very few when I work back from 82 down to 50 that I feel like probably should be ahead of him.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll maybe give you the names that I think maybe could be ahead of him, but some of it is just, it's in short doses. Fred Hoiberg was very, very impactful to the Minnesota Timberwolves in their first real run of doing anything. I guess I would have rated him higher than 76 originally. Terry Porter might still be ahead of Naw for me, but a lot of these guys, Chauncey Billups is probably still ahead of Naw, but yeah, he could easily be moved up 20, 30 spots. I mean, some of these names he's behind when you guys did this, he's better than Wayne Ellington. He's better than Josh Okogie. Shabazz Muhammad, blah. Rasho, I think, was better than people give him credit for. Craig Smith. I forgot Craig Smith existed. There's a random Wolf of the Week if I
nominees on this list,
one.
For sure.
Juancho Hernan Gomez, you guys had ahead of Naw?
Again, Nikhil had only been here for like 3 months, two of which weren't really active playing because that was just like May and June. But
that's what I'm saying, though.
And another one that
the list needs updating.
For sure. And that, we'll get on that. But one of the things that like stands out, too, when you look at it on YouTube is we had the community had Kyle Anderson as the 21st most, you know, valuable Timberwolf of all time, I would imagine he's sliding down a little bit. And if he was on there for one amazing year of production, right? Because last year he was a valuable, I think he shot, you know, a career high from three. He was kind of the Rudy Whisperer and all that stuff, but it was 1 year that got him in the top 25. I think there's a really strong case to be made that Nikhil's having a better year this year than Kyle had last year and is contributing to winning in so many different ways that, again, like, that's another guy. The sky is the limit for how far you want to move Nikhil up in this list.
Well, and the team's better than where they were
that's
last
true.
Year.
Yep.
So that's another notch in the belt for Nah. You know what I think of when I look at this list? We're kind of in NFL draft season right now, leading up to the NFL draft on April 25th. After a draft, like at the end of a season, you'll always see, let's redraft the 2023 draft, which I always think is ridiculous because you don't get that chance to do that. But in this case, yeah, the top 100 list probably needs to be an off-season activity every year. So we should put that on the list for housekeeping of things that we need to do, because you're right. Guys who are currently on the roster, or I guess I was going to say still in the league, but it wouldn't matter because they're not with the Timberwolves. But guys who are still on the roster, their position's probably going to go up or down based on the year that they had or the year that they didn't have. But yeah, at this point, Nah is higher than 82. I would like to see, you guys have talked about it, but I don't remember. Did you do the full list? Did you go all the way through 280?
Yeah, that's like on the dark web. Like, I don't know if anyone really, if that makes for good March podcasting to tell you who we had ranked at 187th, because I don't really remember. It might have been Shane Heal for another
pod. But I think we can have a lot of fun with who are like the bottom 25 Timberwolves players of all time. I forgot another name. This is a blast from the past. I completely forgot about Martell Webster. We were so happy to have him here. I remember that.
That's again,
we were pumped when he got here.
That's like in the ramen noodle phase, which was a long phase for Timberwolves fans, of any time you could get like even like warmed up 3 day old Olive Garden, which is how I would describe Martell Webster. It's like, oh, that's way better than ramen. It wasn't. It was all the same trash. But I was excited about him. And Martell Webster had that famous play, right, where he took like a, I think he took a two at the buzzer when they were down three. So kind of in Timberwolves lore. But I will say, too, kind of looking at this list and thinking already, getting the wheels spinning about this summer and updating it, it's very fluid, right, Ross, in terms of, like, I look at that top five to go all the way to the top. Kevin Garnett, you're going to have to, stranglehold, remove him from the top, just for his longevity, what he meant to this team. But you go.
What gets somebody past number one? It's an NBA championship, right? There would be longevity and an NBA championship would get you past KG, correct?
So we might need our third, our co-host here, and maybe even Jim and some other people. But my thought was, like, let's just say, knock on wood, let's have fun. It's sunny outside. The Wolves make the finals. Does that automatically put Ant as number one? The team has never made the NBA finals. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I have to think about that for a little bit. But it would definitely put him two.
I think he'd still have to do it a bit longer. But it would definitely, yes, definitely skyrocket him to number two.
Like,
but I think, say he had, like, I don't want to say that Derek, say he had like a Derrick Rose type fall where Rose just, I don't want to say he became another NBA player, but he wasn't the early Derrick Rose. That could hurt Ant's candidacy. But I'll tell you this, I'd really like to see them get to the finals and make us have that discussion.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm down for that if you want to keep doing these pods well into June. And another one too is like Sam Cassell, seventh overall on our list, you know, one of the best point guards, maybe the best point guard that this team has ever had. But if they make a deep run, like, there's no reason that Mike Conley doesn't kind of fall back and supersede him on that list. So the list is going to need some major, major updates. Again, it was posted on YouTube. I'll send it out on Twitter. But if you look at it and you think there's any major omissions or guys that should have the highest stock up or vice versa stock down, let us know in the comments. Ross, I know we're wrapping this up, but I couldn't feel good about myself doing this pod with you if I didn't mention what day it was. So I believe to some it's Pi Day, right? 314.
Yep. You a big pie guy, by the way, before we get to whatever you have?
Pie over cake, for sure. I probably could have just done
Pie over cake?
Yeah. Huh. That's not even controversial, I don't think. Pi will never lose. Pi is Kevin Garnett first
oh,
overall.
Oh, sorry. I was having a blonde moment. I got some blonde hair. I thought you were saying you put a piece of pie over cake. You're saying
No. You're saying pie is better than cake.
Yes, and I agree with that 100%. Okay, carry on.
But now I'm thinking about putting like a slice of pie on top of cake and making like yeah, a like, sandwich.
What if you put like a slice of banana cream pie over like vanilla cake with white or chocolate frosting? What would that taste like? That might be pretty good.
I think you might instantly like have diabetes because that's a lot of sugar.
Well, where's my camera? There we go.
There we go. Let's not do that just out of Ross's safety
and health.
Let's
not add to it. Okay, what do you have? What's your
In addition to Pi
list?
Day, it is also National Potato Chip Day.
Oh.
And we can go anywhere you want with this. I didn't really prep this for you, but just do you have a favorite? And I don't want to be too bland here. I don't want you to just say, oh, potato. Like, I want you a specific flavor, a favorite potato chip, and maybe a least favorite potato chip.
Oh, okay.
Whatever way you want to go.
I think anything with sour cream is disgusting for the most part. Wow. So, like, sour cream chips, okay. Those are nasty. So that would be what I dislike for the most part. I mean, not to be too self-deprecating, look at me, there's not many chips that I won't eat, but, do Cheetos count as a chip, by the way?
They do. Where are you putting these?
So I just jotted down four.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to jot down four and then maybe you can help me rank them and then we should get yours too. So, garden salsa, why am I blanking on sun chips garden salsa, sun chips, Cool Ranch Doritos.
Okay.
Cheetos, and I love kettle barbecue chips, specifically the Old Dutch ones. That might be my favorite chip, a barbecue kettle chip, but Cheetos are up there. But I'll be honest, I have weird tendencies, as everybody's picking up on. I can't eat Cheetos touching them. I have to eat them with a fork because I hate the filth it leaves on your hands. So I literally stab Cheetos with a fork and eat them.
That's usually how like a Dateline NBC starts about talking about the serial killer. Is like he'd never like to pick the Cheetos out of the bag. He preferred to eat them with chopsticks.
Can you do a Keith Morrison? What he ate is Cheetos with chopsticks.
So you had Cheetos as good though, right?
I think Cheetos are really good. I think I'd put them somewhere up there. They'd be two or three. The garden salsa is probably farther down on the list, but I do enjoy it. Those are the chips that initially come to mind for me. Did I offend you with sour cream?
I'm not going to say offended. I respect them. I'm not saying I'm a fan. I'm more of like a salt and vinegar guy. And also
Those are great.
2024, we just have too many chip. I mean, I think back to your banana cream pie thing. Like, I think there's probably some banana cream pie flavored Ruffle out there that I just try to stay away from. But I would say to the Doritos thing.
Taco Doritos were good too, by the way. Still are good. You can still find them.
Bingo. I would say Taco Doritos are the best Dorito and in my top five for sure. They are maybe the Anthony Edwards of chips. Like they are just continuously getting better in my mind, even though they've been around for a while.
It's great packaging too.
Yep.
It's very nostalgic packaging.
But in Taco Doritos, there's a sweet chili, Cool Ranch. One Dorito that I think is terrible and like we could just outlaw and I would never think twice. Nacho cheese. Just not for me. Doesn't really
Same
pair
thing.
Well.
I can't deal with the filth on my hands. Can't do it.
So the other ones I would say is I am a barbecue chip guy. I don't think there's any barbecue chip at a grocery store, a healthy grocery store, whatever, that I wouldn't eat. So I'm with you on that. The couple that I think are honorable mention is like, I ate a lot of Pringles growing up.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Once I popped, the fun didn't stop.
The fun don't stop.
I couldn't help myself.
Papa, ooh, mama. Papa, ooh, mama.
But one that would be on the bottom of the list, so going back to like our thing, he's probably like the Nemanja Bjelica, the Juancho Hernan Gomez of chips. I'm not really sure what we're doing with Funyuns, but they're just, you know what those are? Like they're,
yeah.
Like,
I'll be
just,
honest.
Your breath smells terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your breath smells terrible when you have onions. So I guess that part matches up and jives.
Good point.
I'll tell you this. I don't go out of my way to eat Funyuns, but I will eat them.
Okay.
Like them, but I don't go out of my way to eat them, but I do like them. I will always buy, especially when they're on sale, I'll always buy barbecue chips. That's just the best.
I just, you know, to circle again, happy Pi Day to everyone. Happy National Potato Chip Day to everyone. Happy Kyle and Ross holding it down day. But I look at chips. This is probably the most important thing I've ever said. I look at chips as how they pair with the rest of the meal. I mean, again, if you just eat a bag of chips one day because you're having, you're stressed about a mortgage, totally get it. Eat the whole bag. You deserve it, champ.
What chips did you eat, Kyle?
Hey, listen. But, you know, I just don't think, like, the Cheetos of the world or the Funyuns, I don't think those really pair well with, you know, we're getting into grilling season a little bit. That's
yes.
You're not going to eat Cheetos with a burger, I don't think, right?
No, and I think, too, chips, for me, I don't want to say they're seasonal, but you definitely do eat more if you're in Minnesota. I feel like you eat more chips in the spring, summer, maybe early fall. You don't eat them as much in the winter. At least I don't, because to your point, chips are always paired with like a burger, a brat, maybe a chicken breast, something you made on the grill.
Yeah, yeah. And again, sour cream and onion, I'm okay with. We can get rid of those. Also, we didn't even talk about like dipping chips in like various dips. Big fan of that. Just probably my favorite food is just a chip or a, you know, salsa and dip. But anything I can just dip in and just go to town and just kind of zone out. That's kind of what I was doing against that Clippers game. I was just eating chips, drinking wine, and then all of a sudden I was really happy and took my shirt off.
Next pod with Phil, as we start to wrap this up. Next pod with Phil, you brought up wine. Let's rank our favorite wines. Doesn't even have to be, you know.
That's going to be.
It can just be blends, or, you know, red blend, Merlot, Cab, white, whatever. Maybe we should get into that.
If that I do believe being out in kind of wine country out here in Oregon, that's going to be a little more contentious. And we might lose some fans and followers there. But yeah, happy National Pie Day and Chip Day. If you have a favorite chip, throw them in the comments. Moving forward to next week, I am going to see my parents in Hawaii. So bought a house, need to de-stress, going to go visit my parents. But I know Phil will be back with you next week, probably on Tuesday, to talk about those two Jazz games. And then obviously the Wolves go right into a really nasty second night of a back-to-back against the Nuggets. So Phil will be back. Jim will be back next week. Ross will be here. Maybe another guest as well. So I'm going to take a week off, out of office. Don't send me any emails. But I will be back ready to provide a lot of takes. And when I get back, Ross, I think there's only like 10 games left. And then it's the real sprint to the finish line. So we'll do a lot of standings talk, I'm sure, come end of March.
And you know what this was, Kyle? This was Flagler and Howell's, your favorite Minnesota Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.